greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy sitting in here with you tonight on
WWRV 3.185. This great mystery about the time when the Bible says that man was thriving upon the earth. That is so long baffled the Bible so-called experts and give you a revelation that it says that when men begin to multiply and the sons of Yahweh, says sons of God in the King James Version, but that's the sons of Yahweh, the Mighty One. They came down and they took daughters and they mated with them, and then it was a dispensation of time. Yahweh didn't immediately condemn it. And so this experiment, although it was against his will, was permitted through a grace period to see what man would do. Well, after man mixed with the angelic host, the Bible describes that evil began to come into the hearts of men in an alarming rate. And so then, Yahweh Himself said, "Let us." Now, us is a plural or a plurality of other beings. Evidently, there was a separation of those that didn't come down and those that did come down. The good angels stayed in their positions as guardians of the universe. Satan, being the wandering star that he became, and he was a bright in the morning star. At least he thought he was. When he came down, and he taught the other angels, setting the example that he had already set as a precedent from the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3. Now remember, we are particularly talking about three chapters of man as he comes or as he evolves with angelic help. Now enter the book of Enoch. The book of Enoch describes a large offspring called Nephilim. These beings are given in the book of Enoch as very evil and vile and giants. There is evidence in the earth, bone structures, femur bones and things of this nature that have been dug up of giants that stood anywhere from 8 to 36 feet tall. Because man began to shrink because of the gravity and the canopy that was ruptured in Genesis chapter 6 when the flood came, then the gravitation reduced man's size significantly. We know from the Bible episode that David slayed a giant that stood 13 and a half a foot, as was the remnants of these ancient tall ones, or Nephilim, those who came from heaven, or those who from heaven fell. And so then we have evidence that they are somewhere residing. Now, who are these angels? Angels can't die. They can be restrained, because we find in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelations, after we move out from the 12th chapter, when we find that there was actually, literally, war in heaven, Satan and his angels divided the camp. Heaven was divided. And there was literal war. Well, I can't read in the Bible where there's any armistice or a declaration of the end of that war. It's still continuing tonight as we speak. Now the Bible certainly says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and spiritualities and evil workers in high places. So then, this evil is coming from on high, somewhere out in the deep. Well, that's the word that is used when Michael and his angels, when they literally bound Satan and they took him somewhere. And the Bible says, it warns man immediately when Satan surrenders. You see, Satan surrendered to Michael and his angels. Satan and his angels surrendered. They actually, literally, opted for a truce. And they wanted to make peace. They sued for peace. They actually, according to the book of Enoch, they used Enoch as an emissary or a mediator between the warring factions that reside in the universe, somewhere out there. We call it the heaven. After the war, Satan and his angels were removed from wherever heaven is. They were removed bodily. And the Bible said, after the attempt by Enoch to be a mediator and to settle the war between the warring angels, the Elohim, after his failure to negotiate a settlement, because Yahweh and the true angels that remained loyal to him that won the war, they would not sign a truce. But instead, they took Satan off the earth, literally, bodily. Now, you say, well, Satan don't have a body, he's a spirit. Well, you can't read that. Nowhere does it say that Satan is a spirit. It talks about spirits in the plural, but not spirit in the individual. The Bible only gives distinction and honor to one, and that is Yahweh, that Yahweh is a spirit, the universal spirit. And it says that he created both good and evil. He created good angels, and as time went on, they proved themselves to be evil angels. And the evil angels were separated from the good angels because, as the old saying goes, a bad apple will spoil the whole barrel. You put a rotten apple in a barrel of good apples, and pretty soon that rotten apple is going to affect the other apples. And Yahweh knew this by nature. The Bible said that Satan was perfect until iniquity was found within him. In other words, something was lifted up in him, and the Bible describes it was pride. That he wanted to be like the Most High. He wanted to be worshipped and adored, and he was. Did you know that on the earth, right now, at this moment, that Satan, in a way, is worshipped more fervently than Yahweh is worshipped? Now, there's a lot of false worship, there's a lot of false teaching, and a lot of false churches, and a lot of false prophets. There's a few prophets of truth. And what we're going to describe to you tonight is the planet that Satan dwells on, or the planet that is hurling through the universe right now as I speak. And I do believe that that planet on a trajectory, an orbit, an oblong orbit away from the earth that is described in the ancient Sumerian texts and the tablets that have been looked at. There's over 5,000 of these that tells a revelation of what went on long before Adam 1. Now, we have the history of Egypt. We're very enthralled with that. We have the history of Babylon, and we are very interested in that. But no one wants to talk about the first civilization known upon earth that left its history for people to read and to understand and to investigate. And so few people dare to go and look into the Sumerian history of ancient Mesopotamia, which is now in the region of the area of Iraq and Iran. And it's ironic that those two countries are now looked upon as an evil place. And yet, all of our origination history came from the epic tales that is left on the stones. They're crying out to us and telling us that there is a planet that has not been discovered, that is in the universe, and that upon this planet is a body of very intelligent beings that are very evil. They're not benevolent. They are evil, and yet they can appear good, because when they came down in Genesis 6, they convinced man with their intelligence and their superior thinking and their knowledge of everything, science and wisdom and witchcraft and arts and things of this nature, that they taught according to the book of Enoch. And so then, when these were restricted away from earth, that man may progress without divine intervention of the gods. At this time, the literal gods, the Elohim, walked among us. And we have that history written down in the Sumerian tablets of Mesopotamia. And the book of Enoch confirms much of the history of the Sumerian civilization. It tells a epic tale that is almost incredibly hard to believe, and yet it's so simple and so truthful. As they tell us that there are 12 planets. The Sumerians believed that there were 12 actual planets in our solar system, here in our neck of the woods, so to speak, because there are galaxies galore out beyond our solar system. It is incredible how vast this is and how many stars are existing out there like ours that could possibly have planets, and it could actually literally be teeming with life. And yet we don't know, because we have not been contacted unless we consider the epic tale of the Sumerian tablets, which said that the beings from heaven came down and mated with man and brought forth giants. And so then, this is incredible. It is almost beyond our comprehension. Now, is there a place in the heavens? Is there? We've looked at Mars. We've explored. Man has developed technology, just like they did in the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis, when the evil angels were removed from the earth, bodily removed now, when they were taken from the earth and forbidden to interfere with Yahweh's experiment with man upon the earth. There's four classes of people upon the earth, and each one are distinct and separate and has an agenda by the mighty ones. And so then you've got to find your place within those four races. And since then, we have developed by miscegenation, we have developed to the point that we don't know who we are. We've lost our identity. And that is the work of Satan and the carnal mind. There is an element about man's carnality that wants to be evil. It was displayed in Genesis 6 when Yahweh said, when he came down, he said, look, look at what man is doing. And the Bible expressively said that they were marrying. And the question is, who were they marrying? I think I've explained that to you. And they were given in marriage, they were eating, and they were drinking, and they were being merry. And as it was in the days of Noah, when Yahweh and his angel said, come and let us go down and behold the sons of men. And when Yahweh and his angels came down, he was appalled at the evil that had taken over upon the earth for the very cause of making this illicit union of miscegenation between angelic beings and earthlings that were upon the earth. And yet man was willing to cooperate or habitate with the angels. And angels were gladly, they lusted, they literally desired through lust the daughters of men. And they took to themselves wives, and in doing so, the war commenced over this one thing. Now, Yahweh took nature and used it as a battering ram to help subdue and remove the ancient, intelligent ones who from heaven came, are called Nephilim, who from heaven fell. There was an ensuing flood in this Mesopotamian area where these tablets were written. Now, each and every civilization has spoken of a flood. And so then, Yahweh, using nature or something that caused a tremendous, catastrophic happening upon the earth that really drove the ancient ones off the earth. Now, is there a planet that hasn't been discovered? If there were 12 according to the Mesopotamian tablets in Sumeria, then we've only discovered 9, and that leaves 3 to go. Well, enter the 10th planet. Something, and we know that it's out there. We have discovered 9, and I'll give you some background on that. Something beyond the farthest reaches of the known solar system seems to be tugging at Uranus and Neptune. Some strange gravitational force keeps perturbing the two giant planets, causing irregularities in their orbits. The force suggests a presence far away and unseen, a large object that may be the long-sought Planet X that we're beginning to hear about. Now, I'd like to digress here just a moment before I continue this thought. Do you think that Planet X has been spotted? Was it announced in 1984 by our own NASA, the space exploration technology, that they had discovered a 10th planet far beyond Pluto, which is the last planet that's been discovered? We discovered that in 1930, and it was a ninth planet. But the story begins more than a century before that, after the discovery of Uranus in 1781 by the English astronomer William Herschel. Until then, the planetary system seemed to end with Saturn. But today, scientists accept the theories concerning plate tectonics. There are articles and studies showing that at one time, all of the Earth and its continents were on one side of the planet. They were all a landmass of one side. What the other stories don't explore is the question, if all the continents were on one side, what was on the other? The other side has been described as a tremendous gap, matching the Samaritan story of how Earth came about. They really tell us in the Samaritan tablets how the Earth was formed and how it came about. The Samaritan said that Earth was really half a planet called Tiamat, which broke up in a collision with Nibiru. They call this 12th planet Nibiru. Remember now, we've discovered 9. And the fact that the continents were, at one time, and science has already determined it, that all the continents were on one side, and that Earth really came about by the collision with this giant planet that is in a clockwise, most others are counter, in orbits. But this planet, Planet X that we're describing, has a long orbit around our sun, and it takes, according to the Samaritan tablets, 3,600 years to make one orbit around planet Earth, which they called Tiamat. And that there was a collision between Tiamat and Planet X. Well, we have what we call an asteroid belt, and people have wondered how it got there, because they know it was an explosion of or collision of two heavenly bodies that they can't explain, and yet the Samaritan story talks about that and explains it quite well. And yet, you know, if it was Egyptian, something out of the dynasty of Egypt, our scientists would be jumping all over it. Very few people are interested, and it's not taught in your textbooks like the history of Egypt or the history of Babylon or the civilization of Greece and the kingdoms of the past, the Medo-Persian. But this society that lived back then left a record in stone. And the Bible says, if these hold their peace, the stones will cry out. Well, the discovery in the last 200 years has given the source of mathematics that it is to be the design of bigger and better telescopes. And yet, the unaccounted for mathematical irregularities in the orbits of the other planets have prompted astronomers to speculate upon the existence of a further undiscovered planet. Astronomers are so certain of this planet's existence through the perturbation that they have already named it Planet X, the 10th planet. To this day, the search continues for a Planet X. And I just told you that NASA announced that he had found it in 1984. Now, let's pause here and get into some things that's going on today that could, by the way of revelation that I'm going to discuss with you, could open up your understanding to why that we have so many attempts to cover something in space. Now, why are we spraying? Why are they chemtrails on certain days? Why is it that on certain times of the month, all around, now this is not just a local United States, which I'm familiar with here in the South. They spray extremely, very, very extremely hard in the southern region. And there's a reason for that, because in the clockwise trajectory of the orbit, the Planet X, if it is there, it would be seen in the southern hemisphere. And so then, the speculation is by Pastor Buddy. This is a theory now that I'm advancing, that the reason that they're spraying the chemtrails, not the contrails, contrails by jets dissipate in a matter of minutes. But chemtrails stay for days. And what it does, it blocks out, it builds a canopy of a veil, if you will, of the heavens. It's hard for you to see anything after the chemtrails dissipate and spread. They cause white, phosphorus-looking like clouds that hang over for days until the rains come and wash them down. And then whatever substance they use, aluminum, barium, and other things that have been analyzed, that's in the chemtrails spray. And it's not good for man. But they're not interested in man. What they're interested in, I believe, is to block your view from Planet X. Because if we knew, and the history was related and taught, that this planet, when it comes back into our solar system, around the sun, and passes between Mars and Jupiter, that it would cause a gravitational force so severe that there would be, number one, earthquakes, and famine, and pestilence, and waves of the sea roaring, just like the Messiah described it, and it would literally cause, if it actually passed, it will cause days of darkness upon the earth. The sun will be completely blocked out by this large object. Now, if the government knows this, and they know that there's imminent danger, that's why that I propose that they have been feverishly digging into the earth. They have been creating great dens, as the Bible described, in the earth. They are creating, hollowing out caves. The Bible would only describe it as caves. We would describe it today as tunnels. And underground shelters. That's the modern terms for it. And yet, the government is feverishly working and supplying these places with food, stocking it with water, and things of this nature for survival. Well, they told us to get out of the atomic scare back in the 50s when we all were told to get us a atomic shelter, and they used to use subways and places like that to hide in the event of atomic bomb. We were taught in school to get under the desk and, just all kinds of things. Or run to an underground shelter. Well, they quit doing that. They got away from that in the 60s. And yet, what they did, they began to develop great boring machines. And I discussed with you the ability to have atomic boring machines that could bore up to 8 miles of tunnels and create underground shelters in a day. They could bore right through rock and the core of the earth. They could literally bore to the center of the earth if they wanted to. They can go down 5, 10, 15, or 20 miles or deeper if they want to. And they can build enormous shelters, stock it with food, and hopefully they would survive Planet X. And it will be the elite, the brains of the earth, the intelligent ones. Well, isn't that like Satan? And if the government knows, and let's take Russia. Russia right now is feverishly working on the same system that the United States has. In Sweden, they're working on the same system. In France, in England, in Germany, all around the world, governments are feverishly boring into the earth and trying to hide themselves. Now, they want to keep this secret because if the general population, the poor people, the uninformed, the worker bees, so to speak, that support the socialist governments, and that's why that they're teaching socialism now, and that's why socialism is becoming so important, because socialism, the workers supply the materials and the things that the socialist government needs, and then they dole out piecemeal whatever the workers determined to earn. In a free capitalist society, man is a free thinker. He does what he wants to. And so then, that's why that we're coming into a new world order in this day. And the Mayans predicted that this planet, something in the heavens would change around 20 and 12. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're about 3.5 years out till we come into the time of 20 and 12 when there is predicted things are going to happen. Now, it's no lie, and it's easy understood that we are already in the days of Matthew chapter 24 when he said perilous times will come. What did he mean by perilous times? What did he mean when they said that they would cast their silver and gold into the streets and they would run to the dens and the mountains and pray for them to cover them, to hide them from the wrath of something described in the book of Jeremiah, the chapter 48, verse 8, as the great destroyer that would destroy cities upon the earth and literally annihilate them. Is there something coming that you're not been told about? Are they spraying the chemtrails all over, centrally, all over the earth? They know the times when man could view this enormous planet that is anywhere from 2 to 4 times larger than Earth. And if something came into our solar system and started orbiting around the sun on its long flight back home, did the ancient ones, the wise ones, did they know when they took Satan out and put him on a planet in the deep, did they know that it would be a period of 3,600 years before he could return or come into the solar system where he could again start wreaking havoc or visiting man up on the earth? I predict, and I project right now here on WWRB 3.185, that is exactly what is going to happen. That we are going to be in for a visitation. That may not happen in 20 and 12. That just may be the beginning of when we get the knowledge. Because the Bible said much knowledge will increase. And a government can only hide a spectacular astronomical event of this magnitude, they can only hide it for so long. And so then, that's why I believe that they are spraying feverishly in certain areas of the earth. Now, there's some areas it's not affected, where the vantage point, or planet X, could be hidden from view. And you say, well, Pastor Buddy, I don't think if they knew that we were fixing to be come into another planet coming into our local solar system, oh, they would tell us about it. Surely the astronomers would know all about it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, maybe some of them do, but nobody's listening. Just maybe that the government has bought off and intimidated those who would tell you about it. Did you know that today the search is continuing for a planet that one day soon we might find a planet that matches the Sumerian descriptions for a planet even anywhere from 4 to 8 times the size of Earth on a highly 3,600 year elliptical orbit around our sun. Now, in February 1971, the United States launched a Pioneer 10, Now, I'm going to show you that the government knows something that they are now trying to keep from you. The Pioneer 10 scientists attached on it an engraved aluminum plaque. It attempts to tell whoever might find the plaque that mankind is male and female, so on and so forth, and that Pioneer 10 is from the third planet of this sun. Our astronomy is geared to the notion that Earth is the third planet, which indeed it is if one begins the count from the center of our system of the sun. But to someone nearing our solar system from the outside, the first planet to be encountered would be Pluto. The second would be Neptune. The third, Uranus. And the fourth, Saturn. The fifth, Jupiter. The sixth, Mars. And then the Earth would be the seventh planet from out of the constellation or the solar system, where we have an understanding that there's only nine planets. And you can believe one thing. I believe in time that the Samaritan tablets will confirm that they are 12 planets within our system that make up our solar system, and we only know of nine. And we're betting, the scientists are betting, that there are more, because they can tell by the perturbation of the far planets, the distant planets like Uranus and Pluto, that there's something disturbing their orbits. So then there's a great mass near them that is causing this, and the Mesopotamian text exalt the planet X radiance, they call it Nibiru, and suggest that it could be seen even at daytime, visible at sunrise, disappearing from view at sunset. A cylinder seal found at Nippur depicts a group of plowmen looking up in awe as the 12th planet, depicted as the cross of all things, is visible in the skies. The Mesopotamian text spoke of the planet's periodic appearance as an anticipated, predictable, and observable event. Are we being shrouded through the veil of chemtrails to keep from seeing what's out there? Now, if mass hysteria of approximately 6 to 7 billion people, just think about it. No one would go to work if they knew the consequences of a large, gigantic planet coming back and orbiting around our sun and between Jupiter and Mars. Oh my. The fifth planet and the sixth planet, Mars being the sixth planet and Jupiter being the fifth, when it crosses between that, and the projected orbit would bring them in between these the two planets, and it would wreak havoc with the gravitation pull not only of Earth but the other planets as well. Ice caps would literally melt, or an area other and other places would completely become frigid, that it would actually freeze you instantly. Just like a history of the past, when we find in the north, in the North Pole, we have these giant animals that were eating and had daisy cups in their mouths, showing you that it was a torrid grazing area for animals. And instantly they were frozen in the plains of the Siberia and Alaska. Ladies and gentlemen, something's going on here that you're not being told about it. And we know that when archaeologists did go into Samaria, that they uncovered the symbol of the winged globe repeatedly. The winged globe. That is the planet. It was very conspicuous, dominating the temples and the palaces on carved rocks, etched on cylinder seals, painted on walls. It accompanied kings and priests, stood above their thrones and hovered above them in battle scenes. It was etched into their chariots. Central to the religious beliefs and astronomy of the ancient world remained within the solar system and that its grand orbit returned periodically to the Earth's vicinity, and the pictograph sign for the 12th planet is the planet of the crossing, or we know as the cross. Isn't it ironic that at the time of the cross that there could be a catastrophe? Catastrophic winds, solar winds, instant frigid temperatures, torrid and others, Earth becoming almost uninhabitable, the continents once again shifting and breaking up as they did on the Teutonic plates. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is something to think about. So the next time you look up and think you see a contrail, a jet exhaust, and yet it don't dissipate, it don't disappear, but stays there and hangs there and begins to spread out as ribbons, giant ribbons that are sprayed across our country to block our view of the heavens. Something's going on, ladies and gentlemen. And we will continue this in part two. You're listening to Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call with the adventures of Satan's ride through the universe coming soon. Because the Bible says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. My time is all gone. I've got to wrap this up and close it out by saying that you're listening to Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. I'm so glad to be in here live with you tonight on WWCR Clear Channel, the transmitting jewel of the South around the world, where you can listen to us on the computer downloads by simply going to WWRB, do a search in your engine, and it'll bring you up to listen live. Go down to the bottom of the page on the left side where it says listen live, and click on your appropriate player, and you can bring up WWRB. You can listen to us anywhere in the world on computer. Technology is grand. Or you can listen to us live on 3.185 shortwave, wherever that we're coming into your listening area. Well, I've got to close and wrap this up. You're listening, as I say, to the Shepherd's Call and Pastor Buddy. I'd like to give you my address. The Shepherd's Call is moving exclusively over to WWRB 3.185. I would like to remind you that we will be here every Monday night from 9 Eastern Time. That's 9 Eastern now. I'll be with you, joining you live every Monday night at this same time. You can listen in to the Shepherd's Call. I'd like to do a series on Nibiru, or our title, Satan Who Rides Through the Universe, to explain to you why the wars and why the actions and the reactions of planet Earth and man and how he's affected upon it. Ladies and gentlemen, you can call me as I'm live tonight. You can call me tonight. Just call me at area code 423-626-2172. Now let me give that to you again. That's area code 423-626-2172. You can write me, and I would appreciate hearing from you if you are a new listener to the Shepherd's Call and Pastor Buddy. You can write me. Just simply address your cards and letters to Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the ZIP 37824. Now, let me give that to you again. If you're writing down the numbers, you might have missed some. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the ZIP 37824. Get the ZIP. If you don't spell New Tazewell right, the ZIP will bring it right to me. 37824. My sponsor tonight, It has been for many years. Dr. Gary at 1-877-289-7439. Toll free. Call him between the business hours of 9 to 5. Dr. Gary is a great and wonderful man. Knows all about these things that I'm teaching. Been a great teacher himself for years and years and years in the faith that we demonstrate here tonight. Also, my good friend up in the great state of Michigan, Brother Paul for STEM Tech. If you'd like to call him for a fabulous product, 1-800-253-2748. If you'd like to have good toothpaste, or if you'd like to have Miracle Tooth Soap, Dr. Gary sells those products, you can call his number. So call one of our sponsors, or both of them. Tell them Pastor Buddy sent you, and I'm sure that you'll be glad you did. Well, ladies and gentlemen, starting next month, that's in the month of March, Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call will be moving over to a new time schedule. Stay tuned and we'll give you the openings of the time that we'll be on. I will be on Wednesday night, starting on March the 4th. I'll be on Monday night on the 2nd with the Shepherd's Call. Next Monday night, I'll be joining you on March the 2nd at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 8 o'clock Central. And then I'll join you for another hour of the Shepherd's Call on Wednesday night at 10 p.m. That's 10 Central or 9 Central and 10 Eastern Standard Time. And if we can, and we can work out our radio schedule, we may be on with a 30-minute segment here and there later on into the week. So just tune in to us every Monday night and every Wednesday night starting in March. And we'll see you then with the Shepherd's Call and Pastor Buddy. I love you. It's been a joy to be with you around the radio network. Remember, next Monday night, I will continue this exciting series of Satan riding through the universe, going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. The evil one that fell from heaven, according to Luke 10:18. He fell and he brought his angels with him. The war ensued. He was put into prison. He was trapped on the planet and sent way out away from the earth. But he's coming back, ladies and gentlemen, to a neighborhood near you. And the Bible would be very explicit in saying, "Be ye also ready, for you know not in what hour that the Son of Man would come." Ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh is a strong tower. And the Bible says that the righteous run into it, and they are saved. Well, I'll see you on down the line next Monday night on WWRB 3.185. I'd like to say greetings around the radio network to all of our listeners that's listening to us live tonight on WWRB 3.185. We enjoyed being in your homes tonight, your automobiles, wherever you're downloading us, on shortwave or your internet download. If you are rebroadcasting our message tonight on microwave, I salute all of the micro stations around the United States. Many of them are carrying the Shepherd's Call. And this message is being distributed throughout the United States and in foreign countries. And I appreciate that tonight. Yahweh richly bless you. Thank you for all of your tithes and for all your offers. Thank you for all of your support. I need your help now more than ever as we're taking on more radio time. Don't forget me, and may Yahweh never forget you. Yahweh bless you, and shalom.